This is the Employment Law Show.
You bet you're ready to take off again Tuesday evening of the show. We're here at 6:32. John Scholes, Lior Samfiru standing by. Workplace rights, employment law, what we discuss every weeknight on the show here. So again, the email is help@employmentlawyer.ca. And beyond that, you can always reach out to this website, pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. That's for your own use and education. You'll have access there to the severance calculator. And beyond that, you can always call Lior and his team, always ready for a phone call, inviting you to call 1-855-821-5900. Okay, all about employers' duty to accommodate. An interesting topic. A lot of people don't know much about it, so we're going to dive into that, Lior. But first, we always start with the case of the day. Bud, what do you got going on?
Hey, John. Great to be talking employment law as usual. And to answer as many questions as possible, we have a lot of stuff to talk about today, and just by listening to the show, you'll learn lots. You'll be better informed, better armed with very important knowledge. But you can make it even more interesting by calling us with your specific question or dilemma. If you've always wondered something, maybe it starts with the issue of, can my employer do this? I've always wondered that. Why wonder? Just ask right now and I'll tell you. It'll be a simple answer, yes or no, and I'll explain why. Or maybe you're dealing with a difficult situation that you're coming home from work today and you don't know what to do tomorrow because your boss gave you some sort of an ultimatum. Or maybe it's an even worse day than that. You lost your job.
Yeah.
And you want to know what to do, how to respond, what's your road, and what's next. All those things we can talk about right here, right now. So pick up the phone, call us, and let's make sure we get answers to those issues or anything else at all. And, of course, beyond just these 30 minutes of show that we have today, call me in the office or email me anytime. Let's make sure we get really into the issues that are troubling you so we can resolve them. But case of the day where I always like to start, I actually resolved a matter today with someone that I spoke with about a week or so ago. He was let go and he was offered a just terrible severance package. And I suspected that it was because it was a bit of an uninformed employer. So this gentleman had worked for his employer for 15 years, and his employer told him that they're going to pay him 8 weeks' pay. Obviously, that's ridiculous. That's nonsense. He was owed about 18 months' pay. He called me and last week I spoke to him. So I wrote to the company. I wrote to his employer and say, I don't know what the heck is going on with this 8 weeks. Obviously, he's owed a lot more, so you got to pay up. So wouldn't you know it, John, this employer contacts my client and says, you know what? We just want you back. Can you come back? Let's pretend this hasn't happened. We'll pay for the week or so that you were off. You've been there a long time. Let's just come back to work. And this gentleman was very happy to do that. He figured that he'd been there for a long time. It's probably going to be difficult for him to find a similar job. He was happy to go back to work. Now, what happened here is this employer realized, holy cow, we have to pay 18 months. May as well just have him work. May as well not do this, and let's just pretend this whole thing never happened. It's much easier to decide to let someone go if it's going to only cost you 2 months' pay. But once you realize it's going to cost you seven times that, eight, nine times that, it becomes a different analysis. Now, this type of a situation is not very common. It hasn't happened to me too many times where the employer says, okay, just come back to work. Happened a few times, but not common. But what is common is that often employers are taken by complete surprise when they realize just how much they owe those employees that they've let go. Not to mention the employees that I speak to every single time I speak to multiple times a day get shocked. So, and they ask me, are you sure I'm owed this much? Is that really true? I didn't know. It is. You're owed a lot more than you realize, certainly a lot more than your employers offered you. So do the right thing. Let's make sure you get what you're owed. Sometimes you may get surprised. You may even get your employer to offer you your job back. But if not, there's a lot more severance there waiting for you. Never sign off on that severance offer without speaking to me first.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, in the future what this employer will try. Maybe try to get him to sign a new employment agreement, which he will not do. Or maybe they'll try working notice for a year. But again, that comes with a ton of pitfalls for an employer too, right?
Yeah, and he knows not to sign a new employment agreement. Mm-hmm. I told him that. And most employers don't want to give an employee 18 months advance notice of termination. No. It's just a very uncomfortable situation. An employer can, absolutely it can, but that is fairly rare. It's one thing to say we'll give you 2-3 months. To say to give someone 18 months, pretty rare. So I think this employer is just going to have this individual continue working. Hopefully they can continue having a productive relationship for many more years to come. But of course, what that also means for this employer is that if they want to let him go down the road, they're at that point potentially going to owe him even more than 18 months.
Right.
Because, of course, the longer you work, the more severance you get. So it's all good from this individual's perspective. He has his job and he still maintains his severance rights in the future.
All about employers' duty to accommodate. Let's dip into a couple of these before we take a break and give people a chance to grab a phone, Lior. Duty to accommodate. You and I, of course, have talked about this for years and years. I know what it is. You obviously know what it is. But a lot of people listening are maybe not sure of the terminology. What does that mean?
So the duty to accommodate is an obligation that an employer has under our human rights laws, under human rights legislation. In Ontario, it's a human rights code. And essentially what that obligation means is in some situations, which we'll talk about, an employer has to make changes to benefit their employees, to give certain flexibility, dispensations and rights to an employee if it touches on a prohibited ground. So you have certain rights under our human rights code, and one of those rights is in certain situations, the company has to accommodate you, whether it's for religious reasons, medical reasons, family reasons, which we'll talk about. But what's important to remember is that that duty to accommodate is a legal obligation. An employer has to do it. It's not a situation where, well, come on, employer, be a good sport and do it. No, it's not left to the discretion of the employer. If that duty to accommodate is triggered, as we're going to go over, that employer has to do it, has to support the employee, even if it means making certain changes in the workplace, the employer has to do it.
And we are diving into that after a short break. We'll get back to that main topic about accommodation and your phone calls as we continue the Tuesday night edition of the Employment Law Show here on 640 Toronto.
Welcome back to the Employment Law Show.
You betcha, we're back 641 Tuesday evening. John Scholes, Lior Samfiru, Samfiru Tamarkin, LLP, reaching out anytime to Lior when we're not doing this radio show. That is 1-855-821-5900. Use it, no problem. Ask your questions. help@employmentlawyer.ca is always the email address. If we have time by the end of the show tonight, we might try to get to a couple. If not, we're going to keep answering your questions, your phone calls, and continue with our topic, and that is a duty to accommodate. But first, we got John on the air, because I always say it, phone callers, our listeners, are always the top priority. John, good evening, pal. How are you?
Thanks. How about yourself?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
So I worked for a company for a number of years. I was hired initially as a salesperson. I had a base salary that was given to me plus a commission. Approximately 7 years ago, when time got tough with this company, they came to me, asked me to go strictly commission. Well, times were tough. I agreed to it. They said it would be short-lived, and I would go back to my base salary and commission after a while. I'm still not getting my base salary. Am I entitled to getting my base salary back, reinstated?
So the problem, John, is the fact that this happened 7 years ago, and by now you're considered to have agreed to it and accepted this new reality when you don't have a base salary. Now, if there were recent written promises, recent i.e. within the last few months, where they've said to you, don't worry, yeah, it's coming, we're going to bring back your salary, then you may still be able to do something about it. But if it's all stuff that happened 7 years ago, unfortunately, you're stuck in this new situation and you're considered to have accepted it.
Yeah, okay.
That's it. Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate the call. You can think about that one a little longer. But that's something you always say, Lior, when there's changes pending to your workplace, you got to be on top of it because you don't have a lot of time before it's too late, right, in that regard.
So I understand exactly what John wanted to do. He wanted to be the good employee, the good soldier, and say, okay, I'm going to help out this employer. If it helps him that I change my compensation structure, times are tough, I get it. So what I would have, I mean, hindsight is 20/20, right? But if I had spoken to him back then, here's what I would have told him to do. I would have said, send them an email saying that I'm going to help you guys out, but I'm only okay with this for 6 months, let's say. And after 6 months, I'm not okay with this and I expect to get back my salary. And whatever their response is after 6 months, if he doesn't get his salary, then he'd have the option to say that's a constructive dismissal. And potentially we could use that as leverage to get him back his salary. But because that didn't happen, he's now 7 years after the fact. Unfortunately, he's stuck in this new reality. So the problem with not saying anything or just continuing to work when a company does something it's not allowed to do is you're deemed to have accepted it. His employer did not have a right to take away his salary and just put him on 100% commission. They did not have a right to do that. But because he chose to accept it, and I'm not blaming him, I understand why he did, now it's too late to do something about it. Now he's considered to have been okay with this new arrangement.
Yeah. Talking about accommodation, you mentioned the duty to accommodate, and you know, and we want to come back to some examples, I guess, of what makes accommodation.
So there's a few situations that trigger the duty to accommodate. So probably the most common example is with respect to medical conditions. So if you have a physical limitation, some sort of a disability, a serious condition, your employer has to accommodate you with modified duties or modified hours. Maybe now you can't lift something over 20 pounds, or you have to be sitting instead of standing, or you need the flexibility to work from home. If that's required by your medical condition, your employer may have to accommodate, well, will have to accommodate that under a human rights law. So very common there. Another example is religious accommodation. Perhaps it's a situation where for religious reasons you have to leave early, say on the Friday, or you can't work on Saturday for religious reasons. If it's a legitimate religious reason, your employer may have to accommodate you by giving you that flexibility, or certain days you have to be off for religious reasons. Again, that's fine. Another common example is based on what we call family status. So for example, if you have a child that requires care, and the only way you can provide that care for the child is by maybe leaving work early sometime or starting later or something like that, your employer has to provide that accommodation. If that's the only way you can care for your child, that employer has, the by law, the obligation to work with you, to accommodate you, to make it happen. So the duty to accommodate applies in several situations. These are just three of them, but it's a very important duty that all employers have.
We'll continue that chat. First, I want to talk to Ian here, who took the time to call in tonight. Good evening, Ian. How are you?
Good. Good. Everybody there is good?
Yeah, man. What's on your mind?
Listen, I don't understand over here. You guys keep talking about employers. I'm an avid listener to your show, both the week and the weekends. So you guys talk about the employer has the right to let anybody go as long as they give them proper severance. Well, with all this, when I want to be hired, is it proper to give notice about an accommodation that I want as I'm being hired, or during, or after when I'm hired? And furthermore, how do I know if the employer is acting in good faith when I start taking days off and needed, like if I have to go vote, or if I'm sick, or my wife's pregnant and I have to drive her to the hospital? How can I prove and give fair notice so I'm protected and I'm not fired?
So, first of all, in terms of if you need accommodation, listen, as a matter of law, you can tell your employer even before you're hired. But my concern is that employer may choose not to hire you. That may be illegal, okay? But you may never be able to prove that that's why they didn't hire you. So, as a practical matter, what I tell individuals is if you need accommodation, for example, what we were talking before, modified duties, etc., then you can do it after you get hired, and you can tell your employer with a doctor's note what you need. So in terms of other accommodation that you need, always be honest with your employer. If they need some sort of a proof, ask them, say, if you need something from me, tell me what you need. Do you need a note from a doctor? Do you need something else? Then that's okay. If your employer is not reasonable, and if they're not accommodating you when they're required to do so, that's a human rights violation. You can call me and we can discuss that. But in terms of when to tell your employer about accommodation, yes, strictly speaking, you can tell them whenever you want. As a practical matter, I wouldn't tell them before you get the job.
Okay, fair enough. So, and how do you prove that afterwards when they start firing you and they start making excuses and you know you're in your right?
Well, you call me and we find out exactly what happened, what they said, what they did, and we look at all the information. And on that basis, we determine how we prove it. Every case is different, right? But that's why I'm here. That's why you call me if you're let go. And if I get a whiff of the fact that they may have let you go for a discriminatory reason, well, then you better believe I'm going to pursue that, and I'm not going to leave any stone unturned.
Ian, appreciate the call, man. And if you want to carry on or if I have any more questions afterwards, you could do so 1-855-821-5900. But all right, duty to accommodation. Now, when it comes to accommodation for like medical reasons, what does an employee have to do in order to get the accommodation from their employer? Is it as simply or as just getting a doctor's note? I know you need more than your word of mouth, not you. I mean, the person who's asking for the accommodation, right?
Yeah. So what's not enough is for you to tell your employer, hey, employer, I need this accommodation. I need modified duties, or you need to find me a job where I don't stand. That is not good enough to trigger that obligation, that duty to accommodate. What you need is for that to come from a doctor. So yes, it is as simple as getting a doctor's note. That doctor's note is incredibly powerful. It's essentially everything you need to trigger that obligation to accommodate. So that doctor's note does not need to say what the specific medical condition is, doesn't need to give your medical history. All it needs to say is that for medical reasons, this person needs the following accommodation. They need to be able to sit at least 3 hours a day, or they need to be able to work 2 days a week from home, whatever it is that the doctor says. I mean, up to the doctor to decide what's appropriate, right? But as long as the doctor puts that in writing, then the spotlight turns on to the employer. They now have to find a way to make it happen, to provide that accommodation. So get that doctor's note, speak to your doctor about what you need and what you think works. And if the doctor agrees and give you that note, that's all you need.
When is an employee, let's turn around, when are they not entitled to any accommodation?
So you're not entitled to accommodation if it doesn't touch on a human rights issue. So you're not entitled to accommodation based, for example, on the fact that your child may have a baseball game and you want to go see it. A good employer may work with you to allow you to leave so you can be at your child's game, absolutely. But that's not a human right. We don't have a human right that says, I have a right to see my child's game. So an employer may not have to accommodate in that situation. Mm-hmm. There's other situations that are similar that don't trigger the duty to accommodate. You know, for example, if you know, based on your political views, those are not protected grounds. So if there's no accommodation there, if you say, well, you know, I don't want to work with someone that believes in this party or that party. Oftentimes people kind of confuse that with human rights, but that's not really it. So a human right has to do with you have to be accommodated if it touches on your medical condition, on your disability, on your religious ground, on your family status. Those are things that are protected by human rights legislation. And that means that to assure that you're treated properly, an employer may have to accommodate you.
So you're saying that coming up in November when it's Biden versus Trump 2.0, I can't have the night off with you to watch it because it's an absolute circus. I'm just going to warn you right now, I'll probably call in sick, but I'm just
going to know about a nasty bug is coming to that day, right?
Yeah. That's right.
You and me both. I think we'll both come down with something that day.
Yeah, I'll bring the popcorn for sure.
But that's a good point. If you know, you may have a very good reason why you may want to not work and be home to do something that you feel is important, but that in itself does not trigger the duty to accommodate. That doesn't mean that an employer is not going to work with you and be cooperative, but they don't have to, by law, provide accommodation in that situation.
There's probably some employers, and we, you know, we help a lot of employers on the show as well. Some of them are probably screaming into their phones saying, you know, how far do I have to go to accommodate? Like, when's enough is enough? Is there a ceiling to this thing, Lior?
I hear them. I hear them screaming right now. You're right. They're screaming. They're saying, wait a second. Well, I just have to do whatever. It doesn't matter. Well, no, you don't have to do anything and everything. There is a line beyond which you don't have to go. This is what we call the point of undue hardship. What that means is that you have to accommodate even if it's hard, but there's a point where it becomes undue hardship. In other words, it's too difficult. It's too unreasonable. Maybe it's too costly. Then, okay, you don't have to go that far. Now, every situation is different. And what's going to be hard for one employer may not be hard for another. So we have to look at all the factors. You are expected to accommodate even if it's hard. Okay,
yes.
And to say, well, this is just hard a bit, so I'm not going to do it, not good enough. But if you can show that this is just going to be overly difficult, it's not going to be possible, it's going to create major problems for you, then certainly you don't have to go that far. My experience, John, unfortunately, I've seen this time and time again over the past 20-somewhat years, is that employers often don't go far enough to try to accommodate. They use the line, it's too difficult, way too soon, And if they do that, that's a human rights violation.
Yeah, I guess the goal line is different for, you know, Joe's Pizzeria in the corner versus, you know, Samsung. If you're working for, I mean, the duty to accommodate, the much higher threshold, the more resources and bigger the company, yeah?
Yeah, but they have more resources, but they also have more flexibility, potentially different roles they can give someone, different support that they can provide to someone. Whereas if you're working at a company where you're one of two employees, there just may not be a lot of options for your employer as a practical matter. The law is still the same, but what's considered very, very difficult for one employer may be very different for another. So we have to look at all those factors. But a big company with a lot of resources and a lot of flexibility It's going to be very hard for them to say, oh, gee, that's just too hard. It's too much for us to accommodate. If they do that, oftentimes I think it becomes a human rights violation.
So, you know, you look at the employee thinking, you know, how do I know if the employer can provide accommodation but just choosing not to do so? Maybe they've told me, oh, we can't. We just simply can't.
Yeah, and it's not always clear, right? It's not always clear when the employer is truly unable versus them saying, oh, we just don't want to. So we look at all the factors. If your employer refuses to accommodate you, we'll see, you know, how reasonable was the request for accommodation? Is it a situation where they, you know, you used to work on the assembly line and now you have to be working from home doing computer stuff? I mean, that's a very different job. Mm-hmm. Or is it a situation where you just need to be given a chair where you can sit every once an hour? Again, we look at all the circumstances. We look at what this company may have done before, what jobs they have available. And on that basis, we'll be able to say, no, this employer should have accommodated and they refused. Or maybe we can say, you know what, we can understand why this is too much for this particular employer. But it's always worth going through that analysis. If your employer won't accommodate you, we should always, always speak.
Let's wrap it up with an email. Stan writes in, says, guys, how about this? My employer mentioned to me that, well, no one has worked at the company that is older than 65 because the benefits plan won't cover them. I'm 63. Do I have to retire when I'm 65? I smell it coming.
Absolutely not. Now, there may well be benefits that don't cover you past 65. It's just the way the policy is. It's not up to the employer. But that has nothing to do with your ability to continue working. There's no mandatory retirement. We got rid of that many, many years ago. You can work till 75, 85, or to whatever age. And if your employer does anything to push you into retirement, again, that's a human rights violation. That's age discrimination. So, Stan, no, you can work as long as you need to.
Stan, appreciate that, pal. That's where we're going to leave it for tonight. But you know what? Well, you do know. We're back tomorrow at 6:30 as well. In the meantime, you have questions that come to mind in the next 24 hours. You know who to call. You know where to go. 1-855-821-5900. The number help@employmentlawyer.ca. Email address and that website. It's a beauty. It's free. It's anonymous. Severance calculator is waiting for you. That's pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. We'll catch you tomorrow night here again at 6:30 with a Wednesday night edition of the Employment Law Show here on 640 Toronto.